You're listening to the G Ray Records Music Network, your place for music plus more.
So have you ever looked at the Billboard Hot 100 chart and just wondered how that calculus actually works?
Oh, all the time. It feels like a black box.
It feels like magic, right? You see a song just rocket to number one. But, you know, for those of us who really get into the sources, we know there's a very precise science behind it.
And a hugely complicated philosophy.
Exactly. And we're here today because that philosophy just cracked wide open.
We are looking at a major structural shift in how we even measure popular music. The world's largest music platform by sheer volume is about to walk away from the very institution that defines a hit in the US.
It's massive. You sent us the sources detailing this huge industry-rattling dispute between U2 and Billboard. And it's set to just fundamentally redefine success, especially for independent artists.
Yeah, and it'll change what the charts even mean.
Right. The whole story is about these, like, outdated data formulas colliding with massive cultural impact and then, you know, the cold reality of commerce.
So maybe let's start with the rules of the road. You know, what's been happening for the last decade or so?
Good idea.
Up until now, YouTube streams have absolutely been a key part of the big charts. We're talking the Hot 100, the Billboard 200.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Billboard's attempt to reflect, you know, genuine widespread consumption across all the major platforms. And that included video.
And that inclusion was huge. I mean, YouTube is so often the first place new music breaks, especially for international artists. But it wasn't like a free-for-all.
No, not at all.
Billboard was super meticulous about what counted. It was only views from official music videos or official audio content, you know, the stuff the artist or the label puts up.
Right, your unofficial lyric video or like a fan-made compilation.
I never counted.
That never counted toward the official tally, no.
But now that entire relationship, which goes back to the early 2010s, It's collapsing.
Yeah, and that's the big news that really frames this whole deep dive. YouTube has officially announced it's going to stop sending its streaming data to Billboard's main U.S. charts.
And when does this happen?
This seismic shift takes effect in a little over a year, specifically January 16th, 2026.
Wow. Okay, so we've got a massive structural change coming. Mm-hmm. Our mission today is to unpack this whole thing, focus first on the data dispute, the value argument, and then most critically, what artists actually have to do now to prepare.
Let's jump straight into the math that caused the beef. This is really where the whole philosophical divide starts.
Right. Yeah.
The conflict is entirely rooted in Billboard's methodology for how they count streams. Historically, Billboard has always weighed paid subscriptions streams, so streams from what we call DSPs, you know, Spotify, Apple, Music, Tidal.
Right.
They weigh those much more heavily than the free ad-supported streams, and that's YouTube's bread and butter.
Okay, so let's unpack that weighting, because on the surface, you know, if I listen to a song for 30 seconds, shouldn't that just count the same? Whether I have a subscription or I watched an ad, why does Billboard feel like they have to value one play more than another?
Well, Billboard's rationale is kind of twofold. The first one is obvious. Revenue. Money.
Paid streams just generate significantly more money for the industry, for the artists, the labels, the publishers, all of it. And Billboard sees itself as an industry guide, so it wants to measure success based on consumption and the value that consumption creates.
Okay, so they're not just measuring popularity, they're measuring commerce.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. And the second reason, and this detail gets missed a lot, is data validation, anti-fraud. It is just inherently easier to validate data from a paid subscriber.
Yeah.
You know, someone who's logged in, paying a monthly fee. It's much easier than monitoring billions of short ad-supported views where, you know, bot activity and data manipulation are historically a much bigger problem.
So they felt the weighting was necessary to stop the charts from being, I guess, gamed by just huge volumes of low value, maybe even fake traffic.
Exactly. They needed to protect the integrity of the chart, in their view.
So what were the actual numbers, the ratios that YouTube found so offensive? because this is where it gets down to brass tacks. So we did see an attempt at a compromise, but you know, ultimately it just wasn't enough. The ratio, it used to be really steep. One paid stream was valued 3 times as much as a free stream.
3-to-1.
A 3-to-1 ratio. So you needed 3 free YouTube views to equal the chart impact of one single paid Spotify stream.
Wow, 3-to-1. I mean, that's not just a disparity. That feels like a fundamental rejection of how YouTube even operates, which is all about massive, free-flowing cultural discovery.
And Billboard recently tried to narrow that gap. They shifted it to a 2.5-to-1 ratio.
A small change.
Small change. So to be specific, if we talk in what the industry calls album units, which is the big metric one album unit now requires 1,000 paid streams or 2,500 ad-supported streams.
Okay, so paid streams are still valued 2.5 times more than free streams. I see the problem from YouTube's side, but I got to push back on their demand for 1-to-1. Isn't Billboard kind of right here? I mean, if I'm an independent artist and I'm earning these fractional pennies per stream, why should a stream where a listener just skipped the ad? Why should that be valued the same as a fan who's paying me $10 a month through their Spotify subscription?
And that is the central conflict. YouTube's global head of music, Lior Cohen, he argued that the formula is, quote, outdated, especially now that streaming is the vast majority of music revenue in the US.
Right.
They're pushing for 1-to-1 because they believe every single play reflects real engagement, regardless of how it's paid for. They argue that valuing plays just on immediate revenue, it ignores the fact that cultural impact, you know, the discovery that happens on YouTube, that often comes before the paid consumption on other platforms.
So the philosophical divide is crystal clear. YouTube is measuring cultural impact, discovery, widespread engagement. And Billboard is measuring paid consumption, commerce, and traceable revenue. YouTube's basically walking away because they feel their metric is being fundamentally undervalued.
Exactly. By pulling out, YouTube is essentially saying, if our cultural metric isn't valued the same as your commerce metric, we're not going to participate in your definition of success.
The fight is over the soul of the chart.
It really is.
And that leads us right to the battlefield.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just remove YouTube from the equation, what happens when the world's largest source of music video and discovery data, the engine of virality, is just gone from the calculation?
The consequence is immediate and profound. The Billboard charts are now going to reflect a significantly narrower slice of listener behavior. The charts are going to lean almost entirely toward those subscription platforms, and that's going to severely disadvantage several key groups who have, you know, historically used YouTube to get that chart leverage.
And that narrower slice is going to hurt the emerging artists the most.
Right, absolutely. The sources all point to emerging and independent artists. I mean, just think about how music breaks now. A song goes viral on TikTok, right? The artist immediately rushes to get an official video and audio on YouTube. It generates millions of views, huge cultural heat. That massive initial free engagement is often enough to get them a respectable chart position. And that gives them leverage. It's a credential to then get real traction on the paid platforms.
They lose that entire first step now.
That whole on-ramp is gone.
And this must disproportionately impact certain genres. The ones that build their audience primarily through video.
It does. I mean, the shift severely impacts visual creators, artists relying on reaction culture, and yeah, youth-driven genres like hip-hop, but also global genres.
Oh, for sure.
We're talking Afro beats, Latin music, Desi music, Caribbean sounds. Their audiences often are overwhelmingly on YouTube. Right. Taking that data out will absolutely mute their chart presence.
The example in the sources of an artist like NBA YoungBoy is perfect here. His audience is just massive, super engaged, and they generate traffic first and foremost on YouTube.
Day one.
Millions of streams on day one. And that cultural wave just won't be represented properly on the main charts anymore. He could be number one culturally, but like number 20 commercially.
And that loss of representation, it's not just about bragging rights. It's a critical business loss. Chart placements are indispensable business tools. Think of it like this. A high chart position is proof of commercial viability. It influences everything. How much money a label will advance you, securing prime festival bookings, sync deals for TV and film.
Sponsorships?
Lucrative sponsorship deals, all of it.
So an indie artist who used to be able to use massive video views to hit, say, number 40 on the Hot 100, they lose that crucial credential. And that might be the difference between getting a $50,000 festival slot or just being totally ignored.
Precisely. It fundamentally widens the gap. It separates artists who have a strong, loyal, paying audience on the DSPs from those usually independent or breaking artists who have that strong, free platform cultural impact. The charts are now measuring two very different things, and Billboard is clearly choosing commerce.
But there's a crucial detail we mentioned earlier that keeps this from being a total loss for YouTube success. It's really important to repeat this. YouTube streams will still matter for other industry metrics, right?
Correct. That's a huge point. The sources confirm that for RIAA certifications, that's your gold and platinum status that says you sold 500,000 or a million units, YouTube streams will still be counted.
So success is now measured differently depending on your goal.
Exactly. Do you want the fleeting weekly chart position to impress investors, or do you want the permanent, culturally significant, certified sales achievement?
That split leads us perfectly into the next section, the strategic shift. If you're an artist listening to this, or you just follow how emerging music breaks, the rules are changing. Adaptation is everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you were relying on YouTube as a chart-driving asset, January 2026 is your hard deadline for a new plan.
The goal now shifts dramatically. It's away from just maximizing video views for chart points, and it's toward using YouTube as a conversion engine. This is the moment to totally rethink YouTube's role.
So how should an independent artist start treating the platform now? If it's not for the charts, what is it for?
It becomes a pure discovery engine, a brand builder, a monetization channel through its own ad revenue, but explicitly not a chart strategy. The focus has to be on engineering a really robust DSP-centric funnel.
Meaning
aggressively moving the fan off the free platform and onto a paid one.
So what does that funnel actually look like in practice for an indie artist who needs to turn a casual YouTube viewer into like a dedicated Spotify streamer?
The ideal conversion path is now crystal clear in the sources. It has to move from free platforms to paid ones, and then ultimately to fan ownership.
Okay, so a journey.
Think of it as a journey, yeah. YouTube or TikTok virality has to be immediately redirected to Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, and the final most valuable step is moving that fan onto property you own.
Yeah.
Your email list, your Discord, your SMS updates.
That last step is so crucial, because as we've said, attention doesn't equal ownership. But to make that conversion work, you need a real incentive. It's a huge behavioral shift for fans.
Yeah.
Why should they leave the free video to go stream on Spotify?
You have to give them a real reason. Artists have to find creative ways to encourage it. This could mean offering exclusive song versions, you know, maybe a different mix that's only on Spotify, or maybe releasing a B-side track exclusively to paid platforms for the first 48 hours.
Ooh, that's smart.
Yeah, early access to new music, fan-only listening parties that require a paid stream link to get in, even merch bundles that are linked to streaming milestones.
Yeah.
The incentive have to outweigh the convenience of just staying on YouTube.
This whole shift, it really validates the direct-to-fan, the D2F model, in a way that just chasing charts never did.
That is the major takeaway here. This data split proves that institutional approval, you know, a Billboard number, is way less valuable than owning your relationship with the fan. The platforms you own, your email list, Discord server, Patreon, SMS lists, they just became exponentially more valuable than a fleeting chart placement. For DIY artists, success is measured in sales and community trust. The ability to sell tickets, to sell merch, not institutional approval.
It's kind of a relief in a way.
In a way, yeah. The split actually reduces the pressure to chase these artificial chart milestones that, you know, weren't really representing their true audience anyway.
It's forcing everyone to choose a side. The music industry has always lived at this intersection of commerce and culture, but now the institutions that measure them are physically diverging.
And that gives the independent artist a really clear strategy. Optimize for community and paid consumption, and just let the charts do whatever they're going
to
do.
This has been a fascinating deep dive. To quickly recap the magnitude of this shift,
The
partnership between YouTube and Billboard is ending January 16th, 2026.
Right. And the reason is this long-running dispute over how streams are valued, with YouTube rejecting Billboard's 2.5 to 1 ratio and arguing for a 1 to 1 equivalence based on cultural impact.
And the immediate consequence is a chart that measures a much narrower, more commerce-focused slice of what people are listening to.
Mm-hmm. And that disproportionately affects independent, emerging, and video-centric global artists who really rely on that free video traffic to get their foot in the door.
So artists now have to treat YouTube as a discovery and conversion tool, aggressively pushing traffic to paid services that do count heavily toward the charts.
The deeper truth that this whole conflict exposes is that charts measure revenue. They don't necessarily measure cultural reach anymore. This split just solidifies the divide between artists with those established paid audiences and those with massive free platform cultural impact.
And that brings us to the final provocative thought for you to consider as you wrap your head around all this.
Go for it.
Given that RIAA certifications, so gold and platinum status, will still count those massive YouTube streams, while the Billboard charts will now measure that narrower slice of reality focused on paid users. Which of these two metrics will ultimately hold more cultural authority in the coming years? Will the industry, will labels and artists start to value a certified RIAA platinum album more highly than a temporary Billboard chart position?
Which metric will ultimately hold more weight? That's the question that's going to define the music business model in 2026.
Thank you so much for sharing your sources for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.